Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, I don't like WebMD.
Your boots and pants and boots and pants, give them to me now.
There's money in the frozen iguana stand.
Super bad airlines, I'm Mick loving it.
And just like that, Randy is busted.
18 chicken breasts to sleep like the Rock.
The Waldorf to my Statler.
The Denver airport is shaped like a penis and smokes grass.
Just play me some Spice Girls and shut up.
Look it, here comes the fuzz.
Flash European wiener mob.
Don't be fooled by the smiling Peloton lady.
Spruntiriot.
Stop trying to make Bing a thing with Bill.
50 Shades of Blue with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Thank you for calling my voicemail. Now please explain to me why you just didn't leave a text message like a normal person. You weirdo. Okay, bye.
In the bushes. Now.
The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream, and this is my boomstick!
Good morning and welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Tuesday, February 15th, 2022. I'm Scott and he's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. I'm better than yesterday, although I slept like garbage. I don't know what's going on with my sleep patterns lately, but... This is the weird thing. I was kind of a grumpy ass yesterday, but the night before I slept like a perfect sleep.
Like a baby. Slept like a baby.
A baby, that's
babies
what they
don't
say.
Babies sleep very well, really. I don't know why we use that term, because babies wake up, cry, bang on their crib, all that stuff.
I guess when they like, do sleep, they're like super sound, but you're right.
Yeah, slept like a cat. Like cats,
that's
the better way you watch a cat sleep, and it's like, God, I wish I could sleep like that.
Plus, don't cats need like 16 hours of sleep or something weird?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Well, anyway.
16 hours of sleep, 8 hours of knocking stuff off of countertops.
But I slept like a rock. There you go. Rocks never wake up.
Oh, rock is good. Yes, yeah. Like the Rock.
I sleep like the 18 Rock.
18 chicken breasts.
Yeah. Yeah. 18 chicken breasts and 6 hours in the gym. I'm sleeping like the Rock. So I don't know why that was a thing. I should have been refreshed and great. And then last night, slept terrible. Just in and out of sleep all night. The slightest noise woke me up. Just weird dreams when I did sleep. All that kind of stuff. And I'm in a fine mood today. So I don't know.
I don't get it. Well, I'll take it. Whatever the reason is, I'll take it.
Yeah. Look, would you rather have well-slept grumpy Scott or no-sleep happy Scott? I think the latter. Right?
I just could not be the Waldorf to your Statler yesterday. I just couldn't do it, Scott.
Oh, man.
These damn commercials with their cryptocurrency and their NFTs.
Yeah, I went old man yesterday a little bit, but I still hate it all, but whatever.
I know you do.
I'm in a better mood now.
And you can and you should. I should.
That's right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We got a show to do for you. That's our commitment. That's our promise.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we will complete the show today. We won't just stop halfway through and leave you hanging. You'll find a beginning. We're in it right now.
Yeah, unless
a
the power,
middle.
Yeah,
and then an end.
And then an end. Yeah. Now, if the power goes out or we have internet problems, that changes things.
Oh crap! I didn't even think about that possibility.
So that might happen. I'm not saying it will. Just saying it's happened before. Could happen again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The other thing is, we almost didn't have a show. I was supposed to have an appointment this morning. They canceled last second. So now we're here. So I'm really happy about it. But then after this, I got to go get an eye appointment I have right after the show, and that's fine, except I had to push, because of other appointments, I had to push Play Retro to today, which is fine. Dunaway's cool. We're good. We're going to still do it. But I'm going to be, I didn't even think about this, I'm going to be all dilated for that. So it's going to be me staring at the screen going, I think that says video. Oh, video game. Okay. Great.
Will they give you those cool one sheet plastic wraparound and sunglasses to put on your face?
Ooh, like, the granny cataract glasses? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe I'll ask for a pair. We're going to the place where, I don't know if she likes me saying her name here, so maybe I shouldn't. But anyway, a listener works there. So she's always very nice. We always catch up about stuff. And I'll ask her. She'll probably say, yeah, here's a pair of 90-year-old lady
granny
glasses.
Granny wraparounds?
Yeah. I'll wear them on the show. Cool. I don't have to impress anybody. Yeah.
And you say, your clothes, give them to me.
Give them to me now. Your boots, your jacket. What does he actually say?
He says, yeah, he just says, your clothes, give them to me now.
I thought he said boots. No boots. Why do I have boots in my head and
give
Arnold?
Give me your pants and boots and boots and pants.
Okay. We have to play that clip because
is this the
there's some people that don't know what that is. It's been too long.
What are you referring to? Do you have it handy?
I do. It's right here. Check this out.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
It's an old commercial. We played it years and years and years ago.
I was thinking you were going to play the Terminator. But I'm glad you played that one.
Yeah, it's that's the one that matters. Yeah. Was it boots?
Oh, in T2 he says boots.
That's what I'm thinking of.
When he's talking to Paxton.
That's right.
Hunker Paxton.
Yeah.
Close. Give him to me now.
That's right. Right before his demise.
Did Captain Kipper just give us the link right there?
I don't know. That's what he does.
He does.
Yeah.
Captain Kipper and AV Tech John. Like, quick on the Google.
Oh, yeah. The Google.
Oh, no. He gave us the T2 one.
Oh, yeah. This is the boots. Let me zoom in here.
The HUD. The.
Let's see if I can find this part. Yeah, here it is. Check this out. Since Captain Kipper went through the trouble, I will go through the trouble.
Sure.
He's scanning him.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
So we're both right. I was doing T1, you were doing T2.
Yeah, and together we met in the middle and watched T3 and then regretted it. Too bad.
I regretted every second
of it.
Too bad. Sorry, Christiana Loken.
All right, speaking of football, because yesterday there was football talk, we got a couple of follow-ups, and one of them I wanted to read here from Ryan in Michigan. First of all, Ryan in Michigan tells me a thing that I've always wondered, and now we know. I'll get to that in a second. But he says, "Dear Stafford and Breeze," these are football references, players.
Mm-hmm.
On yesterday's show, Scott asked if the people of St. Louis were happy the Rams won the Super Bowl. I can't answer that question, but I can tell you, by and large, the people of Detroit are thrilled. Now he's going to explain why. We Michiganders, that's the part I was going to point out.
Oh, Michiganders. Okay.
I always wondered, what do you call yourself if you're a Michigan resident? Do you call yourself something else? And no, I guess it's Michiganders or Michiganders.
Michiganders. Yeah. Oh, that's worse. I like Michiganders. Although then you sound like you're the goose gender.
You don't want to. Yeah, you can't be a goose gender. That's no good.
Right.
Nobody wants to be a goose gender. We Michiganders watched him play for 12 seasons wearing a Lions jersey. We knew he was an elite quarterback who would never get the recognition he deserved while playing for the Fords, the family that owned the Lions. It's great to see him. Is that true? The Fords, is it the same Fords, the Henry Ford family?
I mean, Michigan, if it seems like it could be, right?
That could be interesting. Ford, Yeah. I hope they're less racist than
people
they're great.
People are confirming, yes, it is the same Fords.
Same Fords. Okay.
Henry's children.
Are they less racist and anti-Semitic than their great-great-grandfather? I hope so. He was kind of an ass. All right, let's see. They own the Lions. It's great to see him and a team that is so focused on winning. He can now be in the conversation for who is the best quarterback playing today. Us Lions fans are on the wrong side of an abusive relationship with our team. It became a meme, but I know people who owned Detroit Rams shirts with the Lions logo sporting Rams horns. It's sad, but it's probably the closest we'll ever get to Super Bowl in my lifetime. Love the hobo, Ryan from Michigan. Well, there you go, Ryan.
There you go. Okay, so yeah, so some Lions fans happy, some Lions fans not so much.
I imagine so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, Detroit was pretty good in the late 90s, early aughts.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened since? What's going on, you guys? You had that crusty coach. You had the cool mustache. You looked like a buffer, more worked out version of Freddie Mercury or something. Remember that guy?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that guy.
What was his name?
I can't. There's no way I'll ever pull that out of my head.
I don't remember, but they were good. They seemed all right. Oh, am I thinking of the Steelers? I might be. You know what? I might be the Steelers coach.
Are you thinking of the Steelers? Okay.
I might be. So the Lions have never been good. Okay.
Salt with Salt is saying, Detroit was never good. One playoff win my entire life, and I'm freaking 55 years old. So, yeah. So I think you might be thinking about...
I think I'm thinking of the Steelers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hold on. What's the losingest team in the history of the NFL? It's not the Lions. It's got to be like the Browns or something, right?
I would think the Browns would be my guess. They did have a good year this year, but for the most part, the Browns were.
Let's see if I can.
How do you look that up? Losingest team in the NFL.
Well, here we go. Who is the worst team in NFL history?
Okay.
Well, that may just be like one season. Well, let's find out. Worst team in the NFL record. Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the lowest win rate, 0.397.
0-14 in 1976.
Yeah. The Arizona Cardinals have the most loss rate. Worst team.
But it only takes into account 1 year, right? Oh, here we go. Every NFL team by historical winning percentage. How about that?
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
I like it.
All right. Let's see here. Bleacher Report.
Gotta be Cleveland.
I would think so. Denver Broncos, number 10.
Oh.
In the first 17 years of... So they're a 0.533. New York Giants is also a 0.533. Oh, okay. So Denver, actually, on this list, showing up the lowest.
So they had a hard start, what that sounds like, because they did fine later.
Right? Yeah.
But those beginning years, maybe
unless,
a little rough.
Unless they're counting... No, I mean, because they went up from there. But then they're showing... Which franchises just missed the cut? Colts with a 5-2-8, Pittsburgh Steelers 5-2-9, Kansas City Chiefs with a 5-3-2. So, I'm sorry. So these are the top 10. Denver is number 10.
Mm.
This doesn't list anything below 10. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that's not so bad.
So Broncos are a little bit better than
Yeah, they're not as bad as you thought. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. The Elway years were strong, though. You guys, you had your moment.
They were great. And the Peyton years were also very good for
us. That's true. Okay. I found one that says, who is the worst team in the NFL regular season? And it says here, it's a tie. Between the Detroit Lions, ding, and the 2017 that was the 2008 Detroit Lions and the 2017 Cleveland Browns, worst teams in the regular season based on 43 year win rates. Their record was 0-16 that year.
So J.C. Calhoun also sent us a link. There's a Wikipedia article list of all time NFL win loss records, and these are current right up until today. Right, so this is. From the time that team started, first NFL season for that team to now, number one team, Green Bay Packers, with a win-loss percentage of 0.572.
Yeah.
782 games won. Lowest, Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a 0.402 since the team started in 1976.
Damn. Sorry, Tampa Bay. What are you doing down there? Yeah.
Exactly. Surprisingly, I would think the Browns would be somewhere in the bottom five or so. Mm-hmm. No, Browns since 1950, 4.9. I'm sorry, a 0.49. So almost half. But number 20 in the list of 32 teams.
Mm. Oh, you won't like this number though. Here's our final stat: who has lost the most Super Bowls? And it's a tie.
Oh yeah, I know one of the teams.
Yeah,
in that tie.
One of these is the Denver Broncos. The other, weirdly, is the New England Patriots. Despite them winning many, they have lost many more.
They've made it to a lot of Super Bowls. So
yeah. So some of those winning years with your freaking goat quarterback. Yeah.
I mean, it's you got to kind of look at it as a how many times have other teams made it to the Super Bowl? Sure, we lost, but we made it to the big game.
Yeah, I guess the 2009 St. Louis Rams, now LA Rams, were the worst team ever. So they're at number 10 of the losingest, which is great because they just won. So take that.
Yeah.
Take that. Kidding. Despite their peeps looking pants they were wearing. stupid.
Hey, Scott, I'm a nerd. I don't care about football. I care about movies. I care about the Oscars. What do we know about the Oscars? Well, Anything new?
Let me tell you about this email I got from Edward Wendig. Wedig? Okay. Wedig.
Wendiggy.
Would you say Wedig? Wedig.
Wedig? I would say Wedig.
Probably Wedig. Okay, yeah. That's good. He says, this is in regards to Drive My Car, which you mentioned yesterday. An Oscar contender, I suppose, that's hard to see. Right. Or that you were. Was this the one we were saying wasn't in full theater release
Correct.
Or something?
It was in art theaters. So limited release in art theaters, not even in full release in mainstream AMCs and Regals and stuff like that.
Well, he says, since you were talking about Drive My Car in the February 14th show and how it wasn't streaming, you'll be happy to know it's coming to HBO in March.
Woo. So, March 2nd to be specific. So that first week of March, West Side Story and Drive My Car.
Both on Max?
So when Disney Plus for West Side Story.
Oh,
so that might mean it might be one of their premium charge deals.
Oh, could be. I don't think HBO's doing that, so you should be okay with the...
Should be okay with it, with Drive My Car. I feel like we'll be fine with Drive My Car, but we'll see what happens with West Side Story. So, we'll get back from California, from the trip to California.
Yeah.
We'll watch those last two movies and then start watching... Moon Knight's at the end of March. There's something else that's at the beginning of March that comes back like while we're gone. I'm like, oh, well, I guess we have to wait till we're back to be able to watch that. But
I wonder what that is.
It'll come to me and I'll.
All right. I noticed the new the Raised by Wolves season 2 has been trickling in and I haven't watched any of it yet, but I really liked that first season. So
did you? Yeah, I started it and I never finished it. Maybe I do need to go back and finish it.
It's a weird show, but I think I think the weird worked for me. And I a lot of people didn't like how it ended, but it ended kind of cliffhanger-y, and I'm like, well, yeah, it's a series. They're going to probably try to do more of these. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So, and the new episode's been getting good reviews, so yeah, I got to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
The last episode of season 1 was horrible. I don't know, J.C. Calhoun. I think it was all right. It was okay. It wasn't the greatest thing on the planet, but it was okay. It was all right. You know, there are worse things on TV is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, I saw an episode of Euphoria last night that if a freaking Zendaya doesn't win an Emmy for her performance in this season, this is all broken.
She really?
She's
okay.
So good in that. My gosh, she's good in it. And, all the rest of the series, she's good in all of it. But in particular, in these last couple of episodes, it's dealing with drug addiction. She's incredible in it. Like... I'm blown away. If she's not nominated, then this is all broken. It's all busted. Forget the Emmys. Trash them. Throw them away. We're done. Right, no more. Right. Golden Globes. All of it. She needs to win that stuff because she's.
It's very, all. Very it's good. All broken. It's all been proven.
Proven to be broken. Okay. Yeah, broken, busted.
So at some point, I probably will break down and watch Euphoria. I mean, it's you included. Everybody that's watched it says.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, it's good, but it's rough.
They always preface it with that heavy sigh, like, oh,
it's really rough, but it's really good. And I'm not used to TV. I normally just be the kind of thing I would bounce off of because I'm like, ugh, this is gross whatever. But something there's some weird something there. All right, well, let's get to today's news. We got a whole slate of breaking news. Everybody. Ooh. Yeah, so get ready because now you're going to be informed. So here comes. Check it out. It's the Daily News brought to you by
patron Rishi B, who says, I have a public health podcast, Healthy Schmelthy, focused on helping people make sense of what's going on in health news. Past guests include Jury, who talked about having a healthy relationship with politics, Tom Merritt, who joined me for a health retrospective of the Twin Peaks show. That's crazy. All episodes at rishibe.com. That's RISHIBEE.com. Thanks for the pluggerino.
And, yeah, man.
Rishi, a great contestant from season 1 of America's Next Top Podcaster.
Was season 1,
is that right?
I think it was season 1.
Yeah, I think it was season 1.
I think so. Yeah, he was great. Always good guy.
That's a good sign that, we've done so many seasons that they're all kind of blurring together.
It is, right? It means it's worked out pretty well.
Yep.
I was going to say something about, Twin Peaks. I don't know if I've ever said this on the show.
Okay.
I put it on Twitter because I was reminded of it, and I don't think I've talked about it here. which is weird because we've talked about Twin Peaks before. It just never came up.
We've talked about it a lot. Yeah.
But I went to Twin Peaks Elementary School as a kid. And it's and we have there's a place or part of the valley. If you look, you have to be in that part of the valley. But if you look straight up to the Eastern Mountains, there are two Twin Peaks, literally twins of each other. Mm-hmm. And any other angle on the valley, it looks wrong. But right there, it looks like Twin Peaks.
And that's where the school is?
Yeah. So the school is like right down to the base of that. So you just walk out of the school and you see Twin Peaks. So they call it Twin Peaks Elementary. And in the school, we had a teacher named Laurie Palmer. Mrs. Palmer.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah. Not Laurie. Laura. Not Laura, but Laurie. So close, Laurie. Right? Like assisted.
How do you spell Laurie?
L-A-R-I-E, right? Hold on.
Okay.
Laurie.
Not Laurie, yeah. Like L-A-U-R-I-E, but Laurie?
No, it's like Laurie. Let's see. There's lots of people with Laurie names, right? Like Hugh Laurie, his last name?
Yeah, but that's L-A-U-R-I-E.
Oh, maybe I'm spelling it wrong. No, it is right. I'm sorry. L-A-U-R-E.
Okay, and it's pronounced Laurie.
Yeah.
But on him, it's pronounced Laurie, but is it...
it's Laurie.
Your teacher was pronounced Laurie?
I believe so. So I had Mrs. Phipps. This Palmer lady was second grade. I was in third grade then. So I didn't have her directly, but we knew she was there. And just the other day, we were going through some old stuff, and I found like all these kind of the equivalent of a yearbook at an elementary school, you know. And mm-hmm. Sure enough, she was in there, but nobody's wrapped in plastic. nobody died. It's fine. Ray Wise isn't there. Everything's fine.
Nice. Yeah, we have in Longmont, we have the Twin Peaks Mall, and my friend Donnie and I got dropped off there on the way back from a sailing trip at Carter Lake, and had to stay there overnight to wait for the bus to take us back to Denver the next morning. And of course, the mall was closed, but we had firecrackers, and we found little cracks to shoot firecrackers into the mall through the doors, through whatever openings we could find. And we kind of raised hell.
That's perfect.
At the Twin Peaks Mall.
That's perfect. No, that's what you're meant to do at that age.
Yeah, at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and it was we were horrible, horrible kids.
That's amazing. Did you ever get in any sort of trouble for it, or no?
None whatsoever. Okay. Somebody did call the police, and so we did have a little, like, we had to run, but it wasn't like they're like right on our tail. It was like, oh, we heard the sirens, and so let's take off, let's hike, as Donnie would say, let's hike, Brian, come on, let's hike.
Hike. We always said book it. We have to book it.
Book it. Yeah.
Yeah. Book it out of here, man. The fuzz. It's the fuzz.
Yeah, yeah.
We never said it was the fuzz, but somebody did.
It's the hooscow.
Yeah, the hooscow. Oh, my gosh. My dad used to say hooscow.
We're going to end up in the hooscow.
Which was jail, right? Wasn't that the deal?
That was jail, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? The hooscow.
Or the popo. We're getting chased by the popo.
Yeah, the popo's good. Cheese it, it's the fuzz. I've heard that.
Cheese it, it's the fuzz. Yeah. Like
beat feet, that's pretty good. Well, now, or no, for a while in high school it was, what did we say? Oh, haul cheeks. You got to haul cheeks?
Haul cheeks, yeah.
Yeah, meant move your butt, I guess. Mm-hmm. Here's your first story about the National Weather Service. Exciting stuff, guys. Exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're warning Florida, all our Florida listeners, listen up. Residents there may see frozen iguanas falling from trees.
As I love cold, a good frozen iguana.
Yeah. It's, oh, man, it's the best thing.
There's money in the frozen banana, frozen iguana stand. See, I couldn't even make the joke because I went right into the
banana
development.
I do like that you said banana instead of banana.
Banana, because I was like merging my iguana, banana.
Yeah, banana. I like it. Anyway, they say they may see some frozen iguanas falling from trees as cold weather slams the East Coast. The story's a little old now, but the idea was that these creatures who are, you know, cold-blooded normally are fine in climes like Florida would get too cold, and they essentially became, cryogenic at that point.
Right, exactly. Like just rigor mortis settled in, still alive.
Yeah, still living, still there.
But,
it's like, Ellen Ripley in her little pod. Just going to the next planet, heading to the prison planet. Anyway, if you see this, this happens, by the way, because lizards become temporarily paralyzed from sub-freezing temperatures. It says the main point of this was don't throw them because you think they're dead, or put them in the trash, or, you know.
Don't throw frozen iguanas.
Right. People? Don't do it. they said much of the state will remain mostly clear and frigid tonight. Chances for scattered, isolated falling iguanas from trees. According to the animal experts, iguanas are usually not dead when this happens. Instead, the lizards, which are cold-blooded, become dormant to protect themselves against plunging temperatures. Their joints become stiff, so they may lose their grip on branches, which causes them to fall. If you come across one, you're meant to leave it alone. Don't be picking them up,
yeah,
poking them or anything.
Right, right.
They said, let's see, the creatures can occasionally still bite people while coming out of their frozen paralysis. The other article I read was literally like, don't let kids like throw them and like, mm-hmm, you know, because you see a dead thing.
Don't
and
play
like,
with it. Don't play with a frozen iguana. Yeah. BioCow says, this is all true. My uncle's friend got a concussion from a falling iguana.
Really?
Yeah.
How big?
Crazy.
That's either a big iguana or it fell a long distance.
From a high tree, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like some kind of terminal velocity on the iguana. That sucks. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? Holy crap.
I don't know. Talk about wrong place, wrong time. I mean, you go to the hospital and say, yeah, hit on the head with a falling iguana.
That kind of stuff is no joke, man. They had like, the news said the other day that,
from a palm tree. Yeah, way up there. That's almost terminal iguana velocity is what that thing almost reached.
They found out what's his name didn't die of a heart attack in the hotel he was in.
Oh, Bob Saget. Yeah, that he hit his head and went to sleep and.
Yeah, damn. Didn't wake up. So it was like the same as, same as what's his name who used to do the OxyClean. That guy.
Billy Mays.
Okay. Same thing. Hit his head in a plane or something, then. And some turbulence, went home to his hotel, laid down and died. And they said it was like a concussion thing. That sucks. Jeez,
it does suck.
You know what? If I hit my head real hard, I'm going to not go to sleep. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Get checked out. Just make sure you're okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to blame these people. You know, I'm not going to blame the concussion. Let me say that again. I'm not blaming Billy Mays or Bob Saget for not doing that. No. I'm just going to use their examples and go, oh, you know what? I'm going to try not to. To fall asleep, because that seems bad. Seems like a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the hospital instead of go, is it lupus? Is it lupus?
Don't look it up on WebMD either. Just go to the hospital.
No.
Just do the right thing.
Don't ever look anything up on there.
No, exactly.
Go to, you know what's pretty good is that Mayo Clinic website. If you're just looking for like, what are the side effects of this medication I was prescribed? If you want to just find that and not go, well, it could be penile cancer. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking for, you know, oh, it caused dry mouth. Okay, thanks. And then leave. That's a good website for that. I like it. Okay.
It was respectable.
He had multiple head skull fractures. What? Is that true?
Dude, really?
Citation needed, platypus surprise.
Platypus surprise.
I did not read that. I had no idea. That makes it sound like he got beat up or something.
Yeah.
Because why would you just, you're not going to have multiple head fractures from bunking your head on a cupboard or something in the hotel kitchen. All right, well, we'll find out later.
Yeah.
Moving on to this story, the Dutch are in the news.
Okay. What are the Dutch doing? What are the Dutch up to these days?
No good as usual. Some Dutch organizers plan to throw eggs at Jeff Bezos' mega yacht. And I can't quite decide how I feel about this. I think I'm... Part of me wants to say, yeah, and then part of me is like, probably shouldn't do that. They'll probably get in trouble. But anyway, the Amazon owner Jeff Bezos gets his $500 million mega yacht in June. It may come primed in the egg yolk. More than 1,200 Dutch protesters.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
It is.
Yeah. It's like one of those naked photo shoots they always do. You know the ones I'm talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's always like a
Dutch photo shoot.
Well, I don't know if it's the Dutch, but there's always like some European group of like 1,000 people. They're all naked on a beach and they're all laying down or something. And then some guy's taking pictures. There's always something like that going on. J.C. Calhoun, I'm counting on you, buddy.
You just said somebody taking pictures at a nudist beach is what happens.
Well, maybe, but it's like all planned and it's meant to be art. Oh, okay. And I don't know why they do it, but they keep doing it. Anyway,
real flash mob.
Yeah, true flash mob. The flashiest of mobs.
Right.
Wieners out, I say. Let's see. 1,200 people. They organized to shell the big boat with eggs when it passes through the the city of Rotterdam. That's where the historic Koningshaven Bridge is. Might have to be dismantled so Bezos' 400-foot yacht vessel thing can get through there.
Oh, geez.
That's lame.
Find another way.
Don't get a boat that big or find another way.
That is reason to egg Egg's boat, right? Oh, we have to take apart a bridge so that he can come through.
I'm starting to be pro egg here. Are you?
Yeah, I am. Now I'm on the side of the eggs.
Yeah, I'm on the outside. The Dutch eggs have got it right. Let's see. The Dutch city. Let's see. Where is it? Oh, okay. The nearly century-old bridge. So it's almost 100 years old. 131 feet above water level, which may not be high enough for Bezos's trio of masts to pass under safely. I say break the masts and buy new ones, you billionaire freak.
Yeah. Just let out some air out of the bottom of the boat so that it sinks a little bit. And like the tires, you know, when the truck gets stuck under the bridge and the kid has the bright idea to let some air out of the tires so the truck can pass through.
Dude, I'm ready for this to be egged. I want to egg it.
You want to see it. I want to see some eggs.
Yeah. I wonder if this probably hasn't happened yet. I don't know what the date was on this. Well, anyway, let's see here. A Dutch city agreed to dismantle the historic bridge to make room for his super yacht, calling all Rotterdams, take a box of rotten eggs with you. And, oh, they want rotten eggs, do they? How do you make sure you get those? That's tricky.
I don't know.
Buy them a week before.
In Rotterdam, you've got rotten eggs.
Yeah.
Rotter eggs.
Rotter eggs. throw them in mass at Jeff's super yacht when it sails through the Hef in Rottingham, they say on their Facebook group. The Hef is how locals know this bridge. It was built in 1927. Rotterdam was built from the rubble by the people of Rotterdam. And we don't just take that apart for the phallic symbol of megalomaniac billionaires, protesters continued on Facebook. Not without a fight, they say.
Jeez.
I don't know, I'm kind of pro-egg. I think I'm in.
I kind of am too, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know what? If you're driving cross-country in a Tesla, you map out where your charging stations are. Mm-hmm. If you're driving your new mega yacht through Europe, you figure out which bridges you can get under, and you adjust your roadmap slightly.
I agree. I'm Team Egg here. Uh-oh, J.C. Calhoun.
Sticking up for Bezos. Yeah, what does he say?
I hate to stick up for the rich, but this isn't his fault. The company built it there, and they knew they would have to do this. So if you're going to be mad, blame the company building it. It's all the same problem, though.
Well, hold on. So they're building it in a place where it can't get out without dismantling. There's got to be another direction it can go, yeah?
I would think so, unless it's trapped in some sort of, one-way inlet or something and they can't get out any other way.
Oh, if that's the case, then that's
it's worse.
That's worse, right? The company is like, yeah, we'll build you your mega yacht. We'll make it so big that you can't get it out.
Here's what you do. You egg the yacht and then you keep moving down the road and you egg the place that made it.
The yacht builders.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Have a normal yacht, Jeff.
So here you go. Half build the yacht. Get it past Rotterdam, and then build the rest of the yacht.
Yeah. A $500 million yacht.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. I know that's pennies for this man. I say this, it's easy to say it. I would hope that I would, that just seems insane to me. Why do you need that? Like, to what end do you need that? You could have 1,000 yachts in every port in this world, and they're all super mega nice yachts. They don't have to be this one.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Rich people and their money. Moving on.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to talk about
him
anymore.
Stupid yacht.
Stupid yacht. Penis rocket yacht. That yacht. Okay, if the yacht's a big penis, then maybe we can talk. Let's see how that looks. I'll be in
there. There you go.
What is this?
There's a picture of it, by the way. Captain Kipper just posted one.
That is an insane length that's kind of broken. Hold on. Let me pull it up.
It is a crazy... I mean... That's nuts. Like, they're building it right in the middle. It almost looks like they're building it in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, what?
Because it looks like there are houses on either. Oh, that's not where they're building it. Is that just them moving it?
Is that dry dock? Oh, I see the water.
No, there's water underneath it, yeah.
That's 500 million? Okay.
I believe it.
I think it's gross. I mean, I'm sure it's nice.
Nobody needs that much boat. Even the Roys, even Kendall and Shiv, none of them need that much boat.
Nope, too much boat.
Greg eating his, drinking his dishwashing liquid and saying, "This isn't good."
Yeah, yeah. And the worst part is when you get on that boat and it's just Jeff Bezos and people he thinks are his friends, because they never are. Yeah. But that boat will be full of that, and then you'll just hear somewhere in the core of the boat, somewhere you'll always hear. Because Jeff Bezos can't laugh like a normal human being. That's why you'll hear that.
I have not been programmed to laugh.
him and Marissa Meyer down there having a party. Money, money, money. All right.
You're trying to start up a Yamaha.
Why a Yamaha in particular? Why did that make
sense? Because it's the only thing I could come up with at the spot.
All right, it's a good one.
That's my.
It's perfect. It's funnier because it's a Yamaha, and I don't know
right.
why.
You name a product, and it just instantly adds a little bit of funny to it.
I love that. It's got to be the right one, though. If you just said Honda, it's not as good as Yamaha.
Not
for some
as funny
reason.
As a Yamaha. Three syllables. Three syllables are funnier.
Yeah. There's some comedy lessons here, everybody. Pay attention.
Yep.
All right. Moving on to this story about Peloton.
Sure.
They're kind of in everyone's poopy eye right now. No one's happy with
they
Peloton.
Really are, because everybody on sitcom, everybody on TV is dying on a Peloton.
Yep. It's not just your Sex in the City, man. Sex in the Shitty. Did you watch the full thing? Did you see
No, didn't watch any of it.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me? I haven't watched anything since the finale of the original show, and that was even under duress. But no movies or anything like that since.
How come... why did I think... Oh, is it because Tina wants it to watch it or something? Or maybe I was thinking of somebody else.
No, it was... Okay. Did Randy say he watched all those?
You know what? That was it.
Yeah.
He was saying he should. And I'm like, really? Should we?
Yeah. No, there's... I have a lot of other things to watch before I get to that. Blank TV screen. I need to catch up on blank TV screen.
Yeah.
Right before I get to...
I have a problem with the name to start with, where I'm just already kind of boycotting it. I just hate the name. Not Sex in the City, but the Just Like That
and
thing.
Just Like That.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah.
Because that sounds dumb when you talk
Sam
about
Jane
it.
Sam Jane says it wasn't Randy. Who was it that was talking about this?
I swore it was Randy. Somebody was raving about it to us.
It was somebody that I don't remember. Sam Jane says he watched the old one. But didn't somebody that we had on the show... We'll nail this down. It's one of the people in this room, and nobody's leaving this room until we identify the killer.
Yes, somebody who is physically here on the air with us said, oh, you really should watch it. It's great. It was not done away. No
Definitely
way.
It wasn't done away.
He was doesn't it, care about that stuff.
Red Fraggle? Was it Amy? Was it you?
Jury wasn't here, so no, can't be jury. He would not.
Tom wouldn't
no,
be Tom.
Definitely not Tom.
Bill, man, Bobby?
Bobby, did you do it? Was it you?
Huh.
No.
I don't know.
I still
But we both it. Remember somebody saying that the new one, that they watched the new one.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. For a second there, I was thinking it was you, but now that you said, when you said Randy, I immediately went, oh, yeah, right. It was not Steven. It was definitely not Daryl. He hasn't been here in a while.
I don't remember. And I, you know, the only other thing I could think of is if somebody that, came on the show as a contestant said it, but we'd remember that.
Yeah. Is it Sex in or and the City?
Sex and the City.
And the City. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm glad I know that.
Because you could have sex outside the city. It's just sex and the city.
Oh, okay. It's and the city.
The sex being Kim Cattrall, pretty much.
Right. She was the sex one. So now
she was the sex.
And just like that, she's not there.
And just like that...
Just like that,
she's
not
free
invited.
To do Mannequin 3.
That's right. Can't wait. All right. Anyway, back to Peloton. Yeah. They have laid off 2,800 workers, and this is what they're offering them as severance: a 1-year subscription to the Peloton service. Yeah.
Good for you. But you still have to buy their machine. We'll give you a free 1-year subscription, but you will need to buy a Peloton machine on your way out.
We'll give you a 20% discount, or I don't know if they do or not, but. they laid off 2,800 people. Part of their severance is a 12-month subscription to the company's fitness services. John Foley, an exercise bike company's co-founder, announced the layoffs on Tuesday in a bombshell message in which he also said he'd be stepping down as CEO. It says, I recently shared that we have been in the process of reevaluating our costs across the entire organization to ensure we are appropriately structured for the post-COVID landscape. The post-COVID landscape.
I
don't like that name. It's dumb.
Basically, they're saying, yeah, now that everybody's going back to work and going outside and doing other things, we're not selling as many bikes.
Yeah. I feel like maybe Peloton is kind of full of shit generally. You know, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Let's analyze this.
Yeah. Let me get into why. So, I always had a feeling when I would see like Peloton ads.
Yeah.
It was just a little too excited. It reminded me of, I know it's not related to this, but it reminded me of a multi-level marketing thing. I just had that vibe around it of like, oh, well, you're not good unless you're Peloton good, and you better have a live coach on a TV screen talking to you. And if you don't do that, then what are you even doing? It's not even exercise if you don't have it. There was just something kind of gym bro-y, if you don't do it this way, you're doing it the wrong way kind of vibe to it. And that vibe always makes me suspicious, always. Just I always like, something's weird about you. Like, I get if you're Coke, you're selling Coke, people buy Coke, you're just buying Cokes, and you're drinking Coke.
And they're showing people on the commercials smiling and enjoying Coke.
Yeah, but there's something about this one.
But what's different about Peloton?
I don't know. There's something about, like, that lady. Remember that controversial commercial with the lady that was, like, trying to make her husband happy? Cause
and she's, like, all, like, oh, here, my husband just bought me a Peloton, and I'm going to lose weight, da-da-da. And then it's, like, different videos of her losing weight on the Peloton.
That's what it is. It's culty. Captain Kipper nailed it. That's what I'm feeling. That's the feeling. Okay. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that's the feeling I got. And so to me,
so Peloton team, the device itself, like,
oh, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
And all that. Okay.
It's probably good hardware. And you know, I haven't used one. My sister has one.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fine.
I have the makeshift Peloton. I have a $200 spin bike, a place for my iPad, a big screen in front of me where I put on Apple Fitness Plus, and, that's all I need.
That seems
$30 cadence monitor so that that I can put that on the pedal and know how fast I'm pedaling.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that was even a thing. That's neat.
It is. I actually just got it because little information here. Getting ready for the MS-150 this year. Mm-hmm. Tina surprised me with a new bike. So
nice.
Yes, a very nice one, and I'm going to be using that for training. While it's cold outside, I got to get training on the actual indoor spin bike. So
yeah, that's the way it works.
Back into it. I was back into it. The Oculus would be great, but yeah, you got to have the rubber doodads, like the rubber thing on them, like that.
Oh yeah, you know what I ended up getting for mine? Check this out. Hold on.
What'd you get?
This was a life changer. For sweaty games or things that make you move a lot, this
tennis
thing,
and boxing and that sort of thing.
The rear or the big like twisty, you hear that?
Oh, look at that! Yeah, that's so like they had on Dactyl Nightmare.
Yeah, kind of.
So that's good. Also, if you're active, because you know you're swinging your head around, you don't want to fling the that thing right off.
Oh, that's 100%. Yeah, like anything, including stuff like Beat Saber is. If you really want to get moving in there, the other one had a tendency, the other strap had a tendency to kind of like droop down on my face, and I hated it.
Sure.
This literally like vice grips it to me. And you can get a little too tight, so you got to be careful, but it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It was only $30, cool. So it wasn't too bad.
Very cool.
All right. Anyway, so they're going to do this. And yes, CrossFit is what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
CrossFit has this
CrossFit
this,
very very much culty. Like I can see and I can see parallels with Peloton.
Yeah, yeah. I like your setup. What you're doing it seems more like my jam.
Yeah. Except I'm just so and I bet I get this with Peloton. I get this with no matter what service I'm using, but God, those people who do the trainers that you have on these things.
Yeah.
They're what's her face from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? I just want to say, wipe that rosy effing smile off your rosy effing face.
Yeah, they're a little.
Tell me how fast I need to pedal. Play me some Spice Girls and just shut up.
They're human stock photos, is what they are.
Really? They are, yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like Tiger catalog faces with the headset on going, how may I help you? It's like that.
Yes. Yeah. I don't need you to tell me to find my best self or visualize I'm, you know, cycling in Hawaii. I can do that on my own. I don't need you guys to tell me to do that. Just say, All right, we're going 85 RPM right now on the pedals, and increase your resistance to moderate, and mm-hmm. That's it. That's all
just
I need.
Tell you
right
what
there.
You need.
That's
yeah. all I need. We yep. know you can do this. Like, okay, just calm down and tell me what I need to do. Yeah, you know what? Here's where I'm at in this post-COVID landscape. Here's what I have less patience for than anything anymore. And I think part of what was making me grump yesterday was some stuff that I was dealing with that nothing to do with the show, but stuff that just bugs me. I am not interested in anything artificial anymore. I don't want fakeness. I don't want forced smiles. I want realness in my sure. life. Like well, anything else just seems, well, I agree, but some people are fooled by a smiling Peloton lady.
Oh,
I can't, sure. I'm not. I see it and go, yeah. okay, I don't even know you. Calm down. You hate what you're doing, probably. Why are you doing it? Like, I don't know if they are or not, but it just feels disingenuous and I don't like it. I'd rather have, like, warts and all, man. Like, that's where I'm at. That's my mindset these days. I don't want any more artificiality in my life, except for in yeah. video games. I like artificiality in video games. That's cool. Like, I'm getting that.
that's good artificiality.
Yeah, sure. I like fake stuff in video games. I'm getting that. I got to get it for review, but also I want to play it. That Forbidden West comes out this week, and mm-hmm. got to get my hands on that. Aloy shooting robot dinosaurs.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. And Lego has a new set, by the way, based on the that tall, platformy-headed Tall Neck, I think it's called.
Oh yeah, Tall Neck. But the one you had to rope up there the first time or whatever.
Yeah, and then they have a new Lego set based on that, which is crazy.
That's what I saw floating around Twitter or something. I saw a photo and I went, oh wait, what is that? And it flipped past too fast, and I didn't bother going back. And that was it.
Yep.
That's cool.
That was it. That's what it was.
Oh, you know what it was? It was Shoujo Beat posted something with giant SpongeBob eyeballs. Is like to say, oh, wow. And it threw me. It threw me.
Really? Okay. All right.
Anyway, good job. I don't know if she's in there now, but all right. Well, anyway, Peloton, get your shit together. Moving on. American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
They're an airline
so
here in America.
Special in the air is what I hear about them.
Is that what they do? Is that they promise?
I think that was them. We're American Airlines. Something special in the air. Right? Am I misremembering or is that?
That might be it. I don't know. Yeah. It sounds like a smell in the air. Doesn't it a little bit?
It does. I mean, I don't think they used it. We flew American coming back from Ireland. So I don't think, I don't remember hearing that at all. So I don't think that's their current slogan, but.
Well, they got a little raucous. They got a little.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This is pretty intense. American Airlines flight attendant strikes passenger on the head with a coffee pot who tried to breach the cockpit mid-flight. Yeah, dude, you don't do that. You get
just
hit.
Use a frozen iguana. I hear those can give you a concussion.
I'm going to order the frozen iguana next time I'm at a...
next time I'm at the Tiki Bar in Vegas, yeah. I'm ordering me a frozen iguana.
It sounds like a real drink, yeah. doesn't it? A little bit.
Oh, look at that. Who found... Somebody found the...
There's video?
Pops and Recline found the... No, not the coffee pot, but the American Airlines...
oh, well, let's hear
the
it.
The old American Airlines slogan.
Let's hear it. Why not?
Okay. That's how close I was.
At first glance, all airlines may appear to be the same, but one gives you a special way to fly. An airline so large it carries over 30 million people a year, yet so personalized you can reserve your seat a year in advance.
Okay, I'm gonna skip ahead.
We have the seat you want, Mr. Martin. Welcome aboard.
Something special in the air.
You're 100% correct, Brian.
Thank you very
much. Nicely done. Nicely done. I mean, it was the 1980s. I don't know what their thing is now.
Yeah, it's we're American Airlines. We're not Spirit.
Don't get us confused with Spirit
or JetBlue.
1 mile at
Spirit's
a time.
Spirit's joining with Frontier. To
oh,
make
really?
A super bad airline. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be an airline that takes away everything that's good and still tries to sell you a credit card. It's going to be perfect.
Great. Frontier it, they'll call it.
Frontier it. Yeah. Sprontier it.
Sprontier it. Their new slogan is 1 mile at a time.
That's the American Airlines?
Yeah,
1 mile at a time?
Their current one, yeah. They even have the URL. They have 1mileatatime.com.
Oh, jeez. That's horrible.
Yeah, I don't think I like it.
It makes it sound like they're slow or they're going to nickel and dime you along the way. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it does.
Call you another mile? How about another $20?
Yeah. Claire asks, is United okay? That makes me think she's got United to the States in a month or two.
Yeah, United is fine.
United's fine. Okay. I had a really bad experience with them like 20 years ago, but it was 20 years ago. So I can't hold that grudge forever. But they, man, boy, they made my life miserable. It involved Denver even, the Denver International. Ooh, boy.
Oh, right. And the gates being on opposite sides of...
Yeah, and them effing up my ticket so bad that I had to run with a seven-year-old. Oh, it was the worst. That was one of the worst days of my life. Because we were already delayed, and we were stuck in New Orleans. And New Orleans, the New Orleans airport that you were just in.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a bad storm, not hurricane level, but a really bad tropical storm that was pounding the place, and they wouldn't let us take off. And so we were supposed to be there an hour. We were there like 6-7 hours. And the roofs were leaking. They had big rubber garbage cans catching water everywhere. And it's just me and my little girl at the time. And we're trying to get home. And when we finally get out of there, we're like, okay, we're going to Chicago. We're heading to Chicago. And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, we are diverting from Chicago. There's a snowstorm. So now Chicago is no good. So they routed us like 3 or 4 times to different things. Got to Denver. Mm-hmm. But with only like 5 minutes to make your next connecting.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. And they screwed up our tickets. We had to run all the way to one end of that horseshoe to the other end of that horseshoe twice or something. Missed that flight. Barely made it on the other one. And you know, the whole thing was like almost like a 20 hour or it was the nightmare. It was a nightmare.
I think the DFW, I think, is the horseshoe. We're like a, we're like a T basically with a bunch of crosses. So it's like you've got tunnel and a train in the middle and then 3 parallel concourses that if you don't catch a train when you need to catch a train, you're waiting. And it's not like Atlanta where if you miss the train you can just walk to the next terminal. You're stuck.
So this isn't like the one they say is shaped like a penis. Well, I guess a T is kind of a penis, right?
Third Eagle was saying swastika, wasn't he? That was shaped like a swastika. Oh, no, he was saying something about a penis.
I think he...
there was something swastika about it, too, that...
There was something about a wiener.
That's like his greatest hits, right? I mean, it is the...
And he was a very famous and evil, actually, pagan king.
No, that's not it.
Let's see here.
The
gay agenda, no. I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I can't find it. I thought I recorded a thing about it, but I guess I didn't.
It's like, you know, our current airport, not horseshoe, just like a train line in the middle and then 3 terminals coming off of that. And again, if you're changing planes and it requires you to go from one terminal to the next, your only way to do it is via train. And if the train doesn't come for a while, you are stuck there for a bit.
It's nightmarish. It's a bad
time.
It
is nightmarish.
If you got time and you're just chilling, it's fine. Mm-hmm. No problem. Yeah. But if you're in a hurry, oh my gosh, dude.
God.
I got a crying 7-year-old.
Your airline is smart and puts its connecting flights in the same damn terminal.
Yep. My Taylor's little, but she was so upset. Oh my gosh. Forget it. All right. Anyway. Oh yeah. So this lady hit her in the head.
Oh yeah.
he was
so it was just an unruly passenger, probably didn't want to wear a mask, I'm guessing.
He stormed he stormed the cockpit. He was trying to get in there. And,
okay.
So and they had 4 passengers trying to contain the dude, and the lady hit him in the head with the
thing. I love it. That's good thinking on her. Totally. That's what I say.
Yep. Totally legit. Yeah. Don't let him go to sleep, though. He might have a concussion, and we don't want that. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back after the break, we'll have Bill Duran here, and also Bobby will share some science with us. I also have a surprise pop email for Bobby that I'll read to him when he gets here. Yeah. Kind of cracked me up. Anyway, that's all coming up next. But before it, we need a musical thing. Do you have one?
I do. How about something from San Diego? Surf Skate Punk's Wanted Noise. They're premiering a new video and a single for the song called Clench. They have a new album coming out called Next Generation. It's coming soon. I don't have a date on that. But this is their brand new single. And if you wanted some rock, folks, surf, skate, punk, rock, here you go. Here's Wanted Noise and Clench.
pull it, wiggle it, wiggle it. Both sides, wiggle it, wiggle it, and then sharpen it, just like you would a knife. Wiggle it.
Maybe you ought to think about it.
From Hell's Heart, I podcast at thee. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. That song once again.
That song again was Clench by the band Wanted Noise from their upcoming album, Next Generation.
Nice. I like that
wiggle
kind
it,
of music.
Wiggle it, Scott. Wiggle it.
Wiggle it. I found a great Bob Ross collection where he just says weird little things. And
oh, that was, I did not catch, I don't know why I didn't recognize that was Bob Ross. Of course it was Bob Ross.
Yeah. Like wiggle your brush. Make it sharp.
Wiggle
make it sharp.
Wiggle it.
Wiggle it. Wiggle it. Somebody make a song out of it and call it Wiggle It. And yeah. We're in.
Real good.
Oh my gosh, that commercial. All right, here is this right here.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
It's Bill Duran joining us, as he often does. Most every Tuesday, he's in here talking about the world of makers and making things. Bill, welcome back.
Good morning, friends. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you, man. Hope you had a good week. We're excited to hear whatever it is you've got cooking. What's going on?
It has been a really good week. I've been working on a project for a while that I'm really excited about. It'll be done soon. I'm working on a video course on Fusion 360, on 3D modeling stuff.
Nice.
Have either of you ever tried to dive into a CAD program like that?
For sure. Yeah, I've done, and I like Fusion 360 the most, probably, but I tried Tinkercad and I tried AutoCAD, and Fusion 360 was my tool of choice, but if I don't use it for a long time, I forget all of the, like, how do I what's it called when you curve the edge?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is that called?
That would be a flanging.
Fillets. Yeah.
Fillets and chamfers.
Chamfers is the word, yeah.
Chamfer.
That's what I, forget.
So 360 is like one of their newer things for the Autodesk people, right? That's one of their newer
things? It is,
yeah.
I've actually had a long history with Autodesk. I learned AutoCAD R12 when I was 10. It was on my mom brought her computer home from school. She's a teacher. It had AutoCAD on it, and at 10, I was like, yeah, I'm going to learn AutoCAD. Yep. And I did. Mm-hmm. And it was really handy.
It's still kind of, let's see, 360 by itself, $495 a year. That's a lot. Fusion 360 with NetFab, you're going to pay $14,000 a year. So maybe just get the 360. Yeah.
So here's the great thing about Fusion, and one of the reasons why it's become my default program to use. If you're using it for personal use, it's free. Mm-hmm. It's free. There are a couple of limitations. They don't seem to be that big of a deal. It's not a big deal for me. So if you can look up Fusion 360 for personal use, they'll send you to a webpage. You just have to make an account, give them a little info, and you can use it for free. You do have to re-up it every year, but it continues to be free.
It's like a three-click re-upping.
Yeah, it's
easy.
Super simple.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. But also, I've used a ton of other things. Maya, Blender, 3D Studio Max, all of those. I like Fusion 360 for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm writing this course. I'm filming it. It's a video course, and if you open the interface to Fusion, it can be a little daunting. I'm specifically covering only the things I use to make props, very basic stuff. This course is designed for people who have never used it and they want to get into it, and it will just guide you through only the things I use to make props. And one of the very first lessons doesn't even have anything to do with Fusion. One of the very first things is collecting reference images. And collecting good reference images can be an important step for any creative endeavor, not just 3D modeling props.
I agree.
That's what I wanted to talk about today.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, this will apply to 2D artists and everybody. We used to keep these things in the 80s called morgues. Brian will remember this.
Yeah, yep.
And what that meant was
vanilla folders full of magazines, shots, and
It was like kind of a nightmare, actually. But at the time, we thought it was super cool. And now we get lazy and use Google image searches and things. But Yeah.
Well, my collection of reference image is all digital now, but I imagine it is just as much of a nightmare. Yeah. none of the images are named correctly.
Takes up a lot less desk space, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's good. That's true.
So obviously, if you're going to recreate a film prop, you need photos of said film prop so you know what it looks like. But if you're making something from scratch, either a sculpture or physical object of some kind, or a drawing of some kind, your reference image can serve as inspiration. But also, it's great to collect images of specific elements of a thing. So if you see a cool texture, or you want to recreate a cool texture, or you see a color scheme that you really like, or a composition that you really like, or any of the elements of art, let's say.
Sure.
Either going out and taking your own photos of things like that, or collecting them from the internet can be really, really handy when you're trying to nail something. You can go look through your library and go, "Ooh, yeah, that's what I was going for," and then try and recreate it.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Does Fusion 360 have a way that, like, you've got a reference material, a great shot of a lightsaber hilt, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Can you put that into the background, like basically on one of the planes of Fusion 360, so that you can trace that shape and then you can kind of rotate Cool.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did exactly that in my course. I did Luke's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi.
Oh, funny. Okay.
There are plenty of reference images out there on the internet. What Fusion has that I love is it's called a canvas, but you just take a JPEG, slap it on there, throw it in your scene on a flat plane, and then they have a way that you can calibrate it. So by calibrating, you click on two points in the image of known distance. So for example, Luke's lightsaber is 29 centimeters long from the pommel to the tip. Not the blade, just the handle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I click on the bottom of it, I click on the top of it, and I say 29 or 290 millimeters, and I hit enter, and it rescales the image for me dead on.
Oh,
it's
cool.
So good. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
One of my absolute favorite things. You can also make the image a little transparent so you can see through it. You can flip it horizontally or vertically. You have a lot of options there.
Mm.
It is so handy.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you can basically just trace it in 3D space, and you'll know that the scale is correct. If you're starting out finding good reference images, you can take your own, but the best place to start if you're looking for something specific is just go to Google Image Search and just look for the thing. You'll want to try a combination of search parameters. So for a screen used prop, I'll probably include that. If I'm looking for, let's say, the noisy cricket, which is another one that I was working on. I went to Google Image Search. I looked up noisy cricket. I looked up screen used. It sent me to the Prop Store website. They do such a good job. Whenever they get a screen used prop, and they have, many thousands of them, they take great reference images, and they always include an image with a ruler in it, which is
that's brilliant. So it's like probably a straight down top view and then a side view and that sort of thing. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and if you're looking for something that isn't a film prop, and the Prop Store website isn't going to help you out, try and find things that have as many angles as possible. And if you can get a straight on, like, orthographic shot of your thing, that's going to be even more helpful. And then I also always search in the Google image options for the largest image possible. Because people out there taking these images, they're making them teeny tiny, and then they're shoving all the SEO in those images. And that next thing you know, your reference image is like 18 pixels wide, and it's completely useless to everyone.
I would make a side recommendation there, and that is the DuckDuckGo.com search engine, which I already like for lots of reasons, mostly security reasons. But the main reason I like it is their image search works like old Google image search used to work. So you just get images, and you can easily grab them, move them, do whatever you got to do with them. Whereas the way Google image search now works, I don't know if it's because of lawsuits or whatever, 99% of the time, there's no click through to the actual image. Often you got to screen cap it. It's more like trying to get things off of Pinterest or something. It's bad. And DuckDuckGo is really good. So
I highly recommend this. This does quite literally look like Google Image Search circa 10 years ago.
Yeah, it is, absolutely is. And it's great. It's really good.
Yeah, and your link goes to view the file as opposed to, oh, go to that website where then you've got to
hunt it down. Exactly. It's. Yeah. I understand why Google felt like they needed to cave because everything's about ads and tracking and everything, and they got to do whatever they got to do. But that's not a problem over here on DuckDuckGo. It's really good.
I am done with Google Image Search. This is where it's at.
Yeah.
And it shows the resolution right in the image there, so I know that I'm not getting a 640 by 480 image. Ugh.
Yeah, and you can do all of those same sort of, like, you know, narrow down your filters and search what you want to do. Bing's also good. JC Calhoun's right. Bing has a pretty good image search. My experience with Bing is, if you're looking for, let's like, I need a reference image of a game controller, there's like a 4 out of 10 chance you're going to also find somebody's erect penis by accident. because Bing is weird, man. Freaking Bing is a strange beast.
I have a fun story about Bing. When Bing came out, I was working at Microsoft, and people who worked at Microsoft were trying to make, hey, why don't you Bing that a thing, right? They were trying to turn that into a verb like Google. And my boss was in my cubicle, and I had to search for something, and he said that. He was like, hey, why don't you just Bing that? And I very deliberately opened a new tab, opened Google, and searched for it on Google. Nice. I just refused to be that guy.
Yeah. Now, look, you got to do what you got to do. And since I started using DuckDuckGo, it's been at least 2-3 years now. It's exclusive now. I don't even use Google at all. So
yeah,
it's 100% search stuff on there. They don't track you. There's no ad tracking. It's just...
Oh, I'm into that.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And you get the results.
And I looked up Luke's lightsaber, and I don't see any penises, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Now, if you want penises, I suppose you could unclick that moderate tag and, you know, go for it, but they're not going to accidentally give you one like Bing does. Bing's like, oh, well, here it is. There's your penis.
Anyway. So, reference images. Collecting your own is great. Taking your own reference images can be really handy too. I frequently end up taking photos of props by playing a TV show on my television and then just taking photos of the TV screen. And that works pretty great for me. The one thing I really want to point out though is that if you can get a scale reference in your image, so if you have a physical object that you're taking a photo of, throw a ruler in there or any object of known dimension, like your ID, your driver's license, right? Because then if you throw that into Fusion, like I was saying before, you can measure your ID, the length of it, and then you just click, boop, put that in there, and it'll scale the entire image correctly for you.
Nice.
So getting scale references in your reference images can be really super handy, especially for prop making, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. We'll get on it, everybody. It's the modern day morgue, we used to call them. I don't think anyone calls it that anymore.
I haven't heard that term in forever.
Yeah, bygone era. But there's still a use for why you did it, and now you can do it. And
every time
I'd
find a picture of Sean Connery, I'd say, "You sent two of these to the morgue."
Yeah.
Whenever I look up pictures of Sean Connery, it's him in that Zardoz suit. That's all over the internet.
Hard to avoid.
Look on Bing. Woo.
I have a Zardoz print I made that I drew years ago, hanging somewhere. Probably not in plain view on my camera, though, because it's a little, I don't know. It's shocking if you don't know what Zardoz is. It's like, wait, what the hell is that? Zardoz is a nightmare. All right. Hey, well done, Bill. It's always good to have you here. Do you have a bonus piece of content for us today?
I sure do. My friend Jairus, his YouTube channel is called Jairus of All, is making a Halo rocket launcher. He's trying to make it look correct. He's trying to make it launch rockets. And he struggled trying to get the scale correct. So in order to make it look right, it has to be pretty big. Mm. And his is very big. It's really cool. And he's got a series going on it. And it's looking really, really good.
Oh, that's
awesome. I recommend checking that out.
That Halo rocket launcher is one of my least favorite things in the game because it does tons of damage and is really great. But it takes up like 3/4 of the screen.
I know, right?
It's so big.
Oh, look at that thing.
I think they did that on purpose because they don't want you just like running around with that all the time. And you only get two missiles per, unless you find some ammo. Anyway, it's a hell of a thing. That's awesome. Well, he's cool. You've shown us his stuff before. He's been on.
Yeah. He does a lot of fun stuff.
I like this guy. So go check him out. It's Jairus for All. Not to be confused with Garrus from Mass Effect. Never confuse him with anybody.
No, he's my boy.
Yeah, there you go. I know Garrus is great. I didn't romance him, but boy, did I come close. Anyway, hey, Bill, you're the best. Have a great week build some cool shit, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. See
you. Bye now.
See you, Bill.
Except I can't really hang up. Boy. Okay, there we go. All right, we got to get our science on. And we do that with the help of one Bobby Frankenberger.
Yeah.
You may know him as Bobby Franks. It doesn't matter either way because here he is. Science. Hey, science. Look who it is. It's old Bobby Frankenberger joining us from South Carolina to talk a little science. Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Old Bobby Franks.
Did it freak you out?
Old Bobby Franks.
Did it freak you out that I said I have an email for you? Did that freak you out?
No.
Okay.
Let's do it.
It should.
It might. Well, it may not. I don't know. Maybe it will. Here's the email, and then you can tell us what you think. Hey, Bobby. It says, "This is funny
because now I'm freaked out."
A good way to start.
Yeah. When it came to me, the subject line was blank, and it just says, "Hey, Bobby." And if I wasn't really paying attention, I would think this was like a miss email, like someone got the wrong email address or something. Because, you know, whatever. But I figured it out. And here's what he says: "Hey, Bobby. Here's a question for you." What if science eventually proves that science isn't real? Wrap your head around that one. Colin Turney is the guy's name. Turney.
Yeah.
Tunney? There's an R there.
Oh, no, it's just an R, yeah.
It looks like an M, doesn't it?
It does look like Toomey, Colin Toomey.
Weird.
Colin Toomey.
Yeah.
Yeah, T-U-R-N-E-Y.
Call into me. I like it. Maybe he's making a joke. But anyway, so Bobby, the question is, what if science eventually proves that science isn't real? It's obviously a very dumb question, but, you know, let's play with it. Let's play with it. What do you think of that? Do you like that, or how do you feel?
Colin Toomey, I do not think that your question is dumb. how would science prove that science isn't real?
If proved that science isn't real, then that would be bunk, because then the science that proved that science isn't real would also not be real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Brian
so
answered
it's
it.
It's like, what's that old riddle about, you know, if I tell you that I can, one of these statements is false or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. One of these statements is a lie. One of them is truth. And yeah, right.
Something like that.
We just did that.
Self-defeating statement. Thank you, Monkey Bananas. That's the word.
Oh, yeah. I like that Monkey Bananas fixed that because he's great.
What if God just shows up and says, I'm not real?
Yeah, then what are you going to do?
It doesn't matter anyway, because if you were paying attention last week, I think your question is great, by the way. I don't think your question is dumb.
You've said that twice now. You're really buttering up to this Colin guy. I like it.
If you're paying attention,
you don't know
last
anything.
Week, I said that science can't prove anything, remember?
That's true. All right. Well, then, so yeah, it's a. There's no dichotomy, or what do you call it when there's something like something that kind of proves something wrong in only one case? What's that called?
Oh, the exception that breaks the rule, or the
yeah. There's a word, not conundrum. We're just like, whoa, that's a not fallacy. What am I trying to say?
Are you thinking of catch 22?
No. It's a word that's just a paradox. That's paradox. It, paradox.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
All right. So this is not a paradox.
Right. It's not going back in time, killing your grandfather, and then you never make a time machine to go back and kill your grandfather.
Right. I actually thought I was thinking of that. Brian is the lord of time travel mistakes. He knows he knows what good time travel is, and most of the time it's bad. Even movies you
Looper,
think you like.
Yeah, exactly.
We all love Looper, but Looper's broken.
That is quite a superpower.
Yeah, it is.
I was bitten on the hand by a radioactive time travel movie, by a radioactive Back to the Future.
It's when you were whipping around the sun to try to turn time backwards or something.
Yep, exactly.
And now you have the superpower to throw a wet blanket on anybody's time.
That's right, exactly. Here's why your time travel movie is dumb.
Yeah, there you go. Always got that cocked and ready. So, Bobby, let's get into some real science here. Not this fake. This isn't even a paradox. Not even a single dox. There's no dox. Okay, this is not even there. All right. So, what did you bring to talk to us about?
Well, I was reading an article that talked about. Apparently, researchers have discovered a new relationship between a person's ability to count and their ability to perform matching tasks that involve numbers up to 25. And that suggests, it seems to suggest anyway, that in order for humans to think about exact numbers, we have to know a word for that number in order to even think about it.
Okay.
Now, it seems like, so on the surface of it, it seems like, okay, big deal. But I've been thinking about this, and I really think that this has much more far-reaching effects, not effects, but implications about the way we think. Mm. But I want to get into it after I explain the study a little bit.
All right.
So it was a study between MIT and University of California, Berkeley, and what they did was they were looking at the Chimane people of Bolivia. They live in the rainforests of Bolivia, and they're very they're very isolated, and the culture and the way that they live does not require them to need to know a lot about numbers. So they can get by pretty well without having to know numbers. Just because, I don't know, they live the simple life and they don't need to count a lot. They do know some numbers and they do have an education system. Their kids will start school, quote unquote, around the same time that children that are, you know, industrialized nations and societies do, around 5 years old or so, their kids will start school. But so children in industrialized societies typically start to learn to count at around two. And once they start to learn to count around two, it's usually takes them about till about four or five to have a sort of sophisticated understanding of numbers. And when I say sophisticated, I mean they can count beyond four and five, get up to six, and then they can start putting group larger numbers together based on the smaller amounts of counting that they can do.
So it's not even like, so Van, he's three, he can count to 30, but he can't go, yep, 4 + 6 = 10. Like, he doesn't know
right
any of that
yeah
stuff
exactly
yet.
So we're not talking about arithmetic, we're yeah just talking about counting and right understanding numbers and size and yeah stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the Chimane people in Bolivia, they have a similar trajectory of learning numbers when they do learn numbers, but mm-hmm they don't start until around the time that they start school. Mm. Their children really start to learn to count at around 5 years old, and they will finish that trajectory of learning and having that sophisticated understanding of larger numbers by around 8 years old. So it's just same trajectory, but they start later than we do. And because they start later and because their culture doesn't really require them to need to know numbers, what ends up happening is you have older children and adults who have, let's say, a very wide range of how high they can count.
Mm.
So what I mean by that, and I'm laying a lot of framework here until we can get to the like mind-blowing thought that I have about this research. But you and I hope can count arbitrarily high, right? Mm-hmm. We can just keep counting.
Yeah.
But these people, the Chimane people, because they don't have as much of a relationship with numbers, they might only be able to count to say 10 or 15 or 40, you know, because they just don't develop this more abstract way of thinking about it. And an important point here is counting means that you have words for those numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having said all that, what the scientists did was they got about 15 people who could count to somewhere between 6 and 20, and then they got 15 people who could count up to at least 40, and they gave them all a task, and it was a matching task. So what they would do is, it was called orthogonal matching. What they do is they line up a number of items in a row on the ground or on a table or something like that, and they say, ask people to then, so maybe they'll give them all like rocks, like 10 rocks in a line in a row. And then they would give them they would ask them to take another object, say like spools of thread or batteries or something like that, another small object, and say, now I want you to line up the same number of items. only they're not, they have to do it vertically instead of horizontally. And the reason that that's important is so that, because they don't want them to be matching one to one.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
And that's why it's called orthogonal matching, is right. Because orthogonal refers to the different direction.
Yeah.
Right.
So what they found was that they could do this. They could perform this task, but the number that they could match up to was limited by how high they could count. So if let's say you could count up to 10, you might start to make mistakes at around 8 or 9. If you could count up to 15, you might start making mistakes around 13 or 14. Now, on the surface, that sounds like, okay, that makes sense. But what they are saying that this implies is that having a word for numbers is what gives you the ability to think about the numbers and actually manipulate those numbers.
Interesting. And beyond what we already say is like 11. I mean, that's a word, but...
Right. But no. That's exactly what they mean, is if you do not have a word for the number, if you have not learned a word for that number, then they believe that that has, based on this research, that it has far-reaching implications for how you can and whether or not you even can think about the numbers at all. And
that's fascinating. I've never even thought about this. We have to have a name for the numbers, or that doesn't work.
Or we don't. Yeah. Right. We can't visualize it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Right. So, and yeah, I'm glad that you realize like fascinating and interesting, because math is already really abstract. Mm. You might think that we don't need concrete words to think about it. Like you might sort of think, why can't we just visualize the number? Or we already do math in our heads, you know? So why do we need to have words for it? But this is implying that you do need to have words for it in order to think more concretely about numbers.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I'd never even thought about the idea that we needed. I always knew we had numbers with names, because that makes sense, because how else are you going to talk about them? Mm-hmm. But right. I didn't think beyond that, like, that's literally part of how we can make sense of them. Otherwise,
right.
What would I even say? If we didn't have a name for the number 5, what would I do? I would go, there's a...
1, 2, 3, 4, something, something, 6, 7, 8.
But I mean, like, the concept is if we didn't have names for any numbers, then what are we even talking about? Like, how do we even reconcile that? That's just crazy.
It's funny that you even counted up to 4, Brian, because there's a lot of research that shows you don't need words for numbers up to the number 4.
Oh, really?
It's beyond that. Larger numbers.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That we start to need to have that information. Now, this is all really interesting when it comes to math and numbers, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I think what this makes me think about is how language, like, how far does this go? Is language then involved in our basic understanding of other concepts, like and does language and having words for things make it possible for us to think about other things in the abstract? There's research, and it made me think of research that's been done in, maybe you, I don't know if you've heard of this before, there's some languages like Russian and Greek that have words for light blue and dark blue. They don't have one word for blue. They have separate words for light blue and dark blue.
Mm.
And so research has been done that shows that people who speak and were raised speaking Russian and Greek, they are actually able to more quickly identify different shades of blue than other people. And they can actually better perceive, like if you take an object like a square that is light blue and overlay it over a dark blue background, they're able to more quickly perceive that that's a separate object than people who do not speak those languages, because they have, and the implication there is they have words for those colors, so they think about them as separate colors rather than people who speak like English who just call it blue. We don't spend our entire lives thinking about them as separate things. And so it literally impacts our understanding and our concept of those things, and it has direct impacts on how we think and see the world and perceive the world.
I love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's clear or not, but it gets me going. Because it gets really, it gets into some philosophical questions about why we are who we are and why we communicate the way we do and how
I think it has massive, massive implications for society and social justice concepts. And I mean, think about how in the past decade or so, especially, we've been coming up with a ton of gender identity and sexuality words, and how important that must be for people who don't have a word for the way that they feel. So that's just one example I think of when I think of how language and having words for things.
Yeah, plus that stuff evolves,
shape
right?
The world.
That stuff evolves. It's like in the early days, you would just be like, ah, there's a devil in him. And then in the 80s, it was like, he's gay. And that's all you had, right? And then, you know, obviously there were more nuance then, but not much. And then now it's like, now we recognize there's a huge difference. And there's categories and there's incremental stuff. It's granular. So now here's a whole bunch of names. And I know that drives some people crazy, but I don't know. I like having names for stuff we understand better. Why wouldn't you want that?
Mm-hmm. You know? Right. Yeah, exactly. And it helps not just us understand people, but people to understand themselves, and everybody just have a richer, better, fuller understanding of the world and the people that live in it and how they interact with the world and all that kind of stuff.
This discussion would only be better if we were all smoking weed right now.
You know? Yeah, man.
Yeah, what if? I'm telling you, there's something there. All right, well, Bobby, always fascinating stuff. Always love talking about this sort of thing. And good news, if you liked it and you heard it at home and you're like, man, I sure could go for more. Good news is Bobby has a whole other podcast where he talks about scientific stuff. Bobby, tell people where to get it and how they get it.
Yeah, my weekly science podcast is called All Around Science, and I'm probably gonna at some point, either this week or next week, talk about this same thing with my co-host Maura and flesh it out a little bit, and maybe go into some of the research that exists that I know exists on cognitive linguistics and stuff like that. So if you're interested in this topic, stay tuned because we're gonna talk about it some more. The episode that just came out yesterday, we talked all about evolution with one of our other favorite science communicators, Nikki Ackerman.
Oh,
Dr.
Yeah.
Nikki.
Oh, yeah.
She's great.
She came on the show. She's a biologist, and she came on and talked to us about evolution, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
So we love having her on the show.
Nothing wrong with her. She's doing really good stuff with Tom Merritt as well, so if you guys haven't heard some of her segments over there, you should check that out on her The Daily Tech News Show stuff. Very, very good. Awesome. Well, Bobby, once again, and as always, we're glad to have you here. We'll catch you next time. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
See you, Bobby. Science.
Science. That's what that is.
Science, bitch.
We're going to get out of here. Randy, or we have an update on this Randy thing. Tell me what you found
out. Yeah, Icor posted. He said, on today's TMS, we were talking about who watched the new Sex in the City show. Apparently, in episode 543 of Film Sack, I asked Randy if he's watching the new Sex in the City, and he says yes. And a minute later, Randy asks me to watch it since it has a different quote unquote feel to it, and he wants my opinion on it.
I knew this discussion happened.
Yeah.
Samantha, he's holding back on you. He's not telling you everything. Busted, Randy's.
You ever wake up drowsy, Samantha, and try and figure out, God, what happened in the last several hours? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because Randy got you drunk and then he watched the Sex in the City.
Wait, which episode was this? I bet I can find it. I have it right
543,
here.
543, Film Sack 543, which was...
Was that Wild Things?
I think it might have been the one before Wild Things.
Oh, then I don't know if I have it. Maybe I do. I mean, I keep them all, but I don't number them. The problem with the... I kind of screwed up a long time ago. Film Sack, I don't number each file, but... Oh, it's Hearts in Atlantis? Is that the one?
Mm, probably.
Okay, yeah. 135. Here, watch this.
When I was being a little kid, and there was a... There.
Hold on, 135. Here 35. We go.
They cool the throat. They're hardly even cigarettes at all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, cools are hardly even cigarettes at all, man. They won't give you cancer.
No, not at all.
Gosh, just the voice, she sounds exactly like Cynthia Nixon. It's uncanny.
Here you go, here you go. Ooh, weird me.
Cools, they cool are you watching, the throat.
Oh, she does kind of.
Are you watching And Just Like That, Randy?
Yes.
I can't watch that. I can't even go near it. Oh, my gosh. You guys.
Why?
I'm glad you are.
Wait, hold on.
I hate Sex and the City.
Scott.
I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everybody in it. It's the most middle-aged white lady problems. I freaking hate it.
I just want to make the case that this is different.
Okay. But it's those characters and stuff.
It's a different thing. Like, you know how they're making a Fresh Prince that has...
Anyway, it goes on.
Yeah.
But
there you go. Proof.
Yeah. There you go. Sam, I think you need to visit Randy in the night and poke him in the bum. No, I don't know what I said. All right. Well, thanks for that, Icor. Always quick on the draw there, Kevin. Always good to hear when he's paying attention to things. All right. We're going to go real quick here. A reminder, the show is entirely possible because you guys support us at patreon.com/TMS. You want some real cool, unique art in the mail? Do you want bonus content every day? Do you want bonus shows every week? Do you want play dates? Do you want all the fun things that we do around here? Well, you got to sign up to do it. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to do it. For everything else you're looking for, check out frogpants.com/TMS. And a reminder, we did bump Play Retro to today. That'll be at 3:30 Mountain Time. Hopefully my eyes won't be too dilated. It won't matter. We're doing it anyway, no matter what. So be here today, 3:30, for that. All right, Brian. Song time?
Song. Well, yeah. Scott, song, because I'm playing your request. You actually used your own, you ate your own lunch.
I did.
And you used the TMS song requester form to request a song yourself. This is, and I forgot to write down the name of the person he's covering, Marty Robbins.
Yes.
So this is Colter Wall, somebody you've mentioned as being a favorite current country performer.
Yep.
And his song Big Iron, which is a cover of Marty Robbins. He's done quite a few. He's done Diamond Joe, which is Kelly Harrell's, Bobby Helms' Fraulein, Mark Williams' Night Herding Song, Tie Knots in the Devil's Tail, stuff like that. But this is a good choice. This is from the album Western Swing and Waltzes. This is some old style country, folks, and love it.
Yeah.
Here is Colter Wall. And do you want to say anything?
Well,
more
the
about
only thing I was going to add, I was just going to add his new album's really good. And for those of you who are hearing me say this and going, country, what? I thought you didn't like country. Not a big fan of mainstream country, never have been. But if you're looking for like an old soul, the dude's all of 25. He just turned 25. He's super young, but he sounds like he was lifted out of the 50s or something.
Yeah, he does.
He tells these really, his original work is always really dark, cool stories. Kate McKinnon's an amazing song that should be a movie or a TV show. He has this amazing guttural low 60-year-old sounding voice, and it's just a cut above what anyone else is doing. In some ways it's very retro, in other ways it's very current. Lots of stuff in between, and his covers are great. And a lot of you will remember this song Big Iron from playing Fallout New Vegas. That was the original, was one of the songs that was always on the local Vegas radio station while you're out in the wastelands. And that's why where my first exposure to that song was that. That's an ancient song. Anyway, he does this amazing cover, and I'm really glad Brian's playing it. So here it comes. Very exciting stuff. Thank you for playing that. Thank you all for listening and being here.
Sure.
We'll be back tomorrow with the Wednesday stuff. And with Randy, lover of all things Sex and the City. So check us out then. Bye.
To the town of Iowa Field rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. A big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came a whisper from each lip, and he's here to do some business with the big iron on his hip. The big iron on his hip. In this town and live an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 and 19 more. 1 and 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead, and he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men that tried to take him, 20 men that made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Well, the morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red and not clear leather, for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. The big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and folks had gathered around. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his head.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Oh, ha, ha.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.